four very important words that we want to communicate each week from God's Word, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, Thy will be done. And it's so very important that we commit to this understanding of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ about being a Thy will be done person, because it is God's desire, and it should be ours, that we graduate, that we grow from being a my will be done person to a Thy will be done believer and follower of Jesus Christ. And so this magnanimous prayer that God has given to us through the Lord, this heart of the prayer of saying, I want to go by God's will in my life, is so very important. And there's one aspect after another that has to do with doing God's will. And one of them is something I want to talk with you about this morning, and that is listening to God. If we're going to pray, Thy will be done, then we need to listen to God. And listening is so very important. And when you survey the Scriptures over and over again, God is calling us to listen to Him, to listen to that which He has to say. Now, I don't know about you, but being a parent, whether your children are older now, or your children are younger, or maybe you're aspiring to be parents, or you have nieces and nephews, one thing that drives a parent nuts is what? That their kids don't listen. That just drives you crazy. I feel like a broken record sometimes with my sons. And just recently, I asked another parent, I said, when I talk, does Swahili come out or another language? I'm just curious. Because I'm speaking, sometimes I'm yelling it, and sometimes I'm animated, but it just seems like it's not registering through. And I would venture to guess that we're like that with God sometimes, where God is speaking over and over to us. He's communicating to us in a real and vibrant way. He's amplified and He's animated, but our attention is diverted and it is distracted for so many different reasons. And maybe that's why Jesus says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 8. He says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's very important that we hear that which God is saying. Psalm 32, verse 8 tells us why we need to hear God. The Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll instruct you. I'll give you the step-by-step directions that you need to take. I will provide you with just enough light so you could see the path ahead of you. Because I can't give you the whole thing of how your life's going to work out, because you probably go crazy. Because you just worry about today. That's enough for you. So let me just give you enough information for how to take the next step. I will instruct you and I will teach you the way that you should go. Because there is a way we should go. And that's the opposite way of that we want to go usually. And the Lord says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Like a father teaching his daughter how to ride a bike. I will have my hand on your back as the training wheels are there, guiding you. I will keep my eye on you as I counsel you. I will direct you. How refreshing is that? We should, without question, listen to God. Even if you come here this morning and you're appeasing somebody, maybe they promised you lunch afterwards, which, by the way, is a good deal. You come to a 65-minute, 75-minute service, or however long the service is going to be today, 3 hours. I don't know how long it's going to be, but you come here and I guess you got to get dessert then afterwards. But they promise you to go out to eat. You say, okay, I'll sit through that, this whatever they call it, and I'll get through it. Let me just be very clear with you, whether you've been in church all your life, 50 years, or you're just starting out. There is no greater counsel on the face of the earth than the words of God. These are the words for your soul and for your life. It's so very important we realize that. We don't need to wait till it's about to end for us to come to that point when we're in the hospital. We need to understand that now in our life, that God wants to instruct and counsel us. It doesn't say that life's going to go perfect, but we can trust in the perfect one to guide us. And so throughout the Scriptures, God counsels us to listen. He invites us to come. He invites us to put Him to the test, that to ask, seek, and to knock, to come to Him, to know His will so that we could do it. He wants us to come and listen to Him. Now, out of all the parables and teachings of Jesus, there's one memorable one. In fact, He uses it to sum up one of His greatest sermons of all. And so I want to invite you this morning. We're going to stay in Luke's gospel if we have for these first two messages of this series. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to start out by reading verse 46 in just a moment. This is the parable, the closing, if you will,
where Jesus is going to encourage his listeners to listen to him, to hear what he is saying, and to essentially put it into practice. He's going to close up with an application of, if you're going to truly follow me, then you need to listen and put it into practice. Now, how very important, considering what we just read from Psalm 32. I mean, just take a normal week in your life. Now, some of us, your normal week is not like anybody else's normal week because you have a lot of adversity going on. How much more do you need the counsel of God? Think about raising your family. Think about when your kids get older. Whatever it may be, or you're single. Whatever it may be, we need the counsel of God. Even in this society, even with this coming election, there is no Savior in man-made terms. There's only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. We must realize that. And a theme verse for our church is Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but our trust is in the Lord God Almighty. That word is so fresh as if it was written this morning. Do you realize that? It was written thousands of years ago. God wants us to take his counsel to heart because he knows we need it. This is not just religious jargon or instruction. This is words of life, Jesus said. And so starting in verse 46 of Luke 6, this is what Jesus says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Again, it sounds like a father talking to a son or a mother talking to her children. You know, I'm your mother. Why don't you just listen to what I have to say here? And Jesus is saying, Lord, you call me Lord, Lord, which is a term of surrender. You're saying that I'm Lord of your life, but yet you're not doing what I say. Throughout the scriptures, God connects saving faith with obedient faith. We can't say, yes, I trust in Jesus for my hell insurance, but I'm not going to listen to what he has to say while I live here on earth. It doesn't work that way. If I have committed myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and I've trusted in him as my Savior, well, he's also Lord of my life, as it says in Romans 10:9, that if we confess that he's Lord with our mouth. So it's so important that we understand that those two things go together. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If you're going to call me Lord, Lord, then you got to put into practice what I've said. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect in all of our applications of that which God commands. But it speaks of a condition of the heart, and if you will, this morning, a condition of our ears. And so write this principle down as we begin. We have to learn to recognize God's voice if we're going to listen to him. We got to learn to recognize God's voice. And it's so important that we do that in this day and age because there's a lot of voices out there. And you need to hear the right voice. You need to hear what God is saying to you specifically through his word and through his spirit. Now, there are, as I have listed here, several reasons for why sometimes we can't recognize and hear God's voice. And maybe you fit into one of these, and maybe one of these could help you and I recognize God's voice better, and we could apply what Jesus is saying here, that we don't want to just call him Lord, Lord, and not put into practice what he says. The first reason is you're not following Christ. Let's just be plain and simple here. We have no time to beat around the bush. You may not be following Christ right now. You may not have accepted Christ into your life. You may have accepted a religion. You may have accepted a denomination, but you have not accepted Christ into your heart. And this is so true because tomorrow's not promised to us. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. We know who holds tomorrow. We know that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So we don't want to risk eternity just for the sake of religion. We can't get in on somebody else's faith. We need to have a faith exclusively in Jesus Christ. This is what it says in John 8:47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you don't hear, I mean, Jesus is being very clear here. The reason why you don't hear them is that you're not of God. You may not be of God. You don't hear God because you're not of God. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you got to leave here and hang your head. We can fix that today. The Spirit of God, it's no accident that you're hearing this message today. I believe in God's sovereignty. I believe that he wanted you here today, all of us, to hear this message. If you're listening at home, he wants you to hear this message. He doesn't want you to leave here today without knowing, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and he's your Savior. Because he wants you to hear his words. He wants you to be guided. He wants you to be directed by him. And you could put your faith in Christ this morning, admitting you're a sinner. You already know that. But what you may not have realized is Christ died for your sins completely, every one of them. He died for your sins and he rose from the dead, the core of the gospel. We're saved by grace, not by the good works that we could do. That is something that even if you accepted Christ years ago, decades ago, that is what keeps you coming. That is what keeps you honoring God because you're so thankful for that which God has done for you. And so if you want to hear God, well, you got to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You could hear religion. You could hear denominational talk, but you're not necessarily hearing God. Now, what if you have trusted in Christ? Is it possible not to follow God? Sure it is. You could trust. Now, listen to this. You could trust in Christ, but you still think you're calling the shots. Maybe in the beginning, you were all in. You were zealous for God. But then all of a sudden, you got too busy for God. You know, your schedule, you know what? I got this and I got that. And you know what? Now things are going good for me now. And now I've arrived and I don't need to keep growing and learning. On the contrary. Jesus says this in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And notice what Jesus said. What? They follow me. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then you're hearing what he's saying. So a potential reason why you can't recognize God's voice, you're just simply not following Christ. Either you haven't accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, or you are a believer, but you want to do what you want to do. That is a dangerous discourse to go down, my friend. Take it from my experiences. God is sovereign. He's in control. He knows better than we do. His plan's greater than our plan. Here's another reason that you want to write down. Now, I know some of you might get mad at me today, but just take a look at this smile before I say it, okay? I'm smiling at you. I love you, okay? All right, so don't get mad at me. You have a stubborn heart. That could be a reason that you're not recognizing God's voice right now. You're not hearing it. You're stubborn. This is nothing new, by the way. The Israelites were stubborn after God delivered them. Hebrews 3 gives us a quotation from Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11, which alludes to the stubbornness of Israel. This is what it says. That is why the Holy Spirit says today, when you hear his voice, that's God, don't harden your hearts. That word harden in the Hebrew and the Greek language gives us the understanding of stubbornness. Don't be stubborn. Don't have a stubborn heart. Don't be a stubborn mule. You may have heard that before. As Israel did, when they rebelled, when they were tested in the wilderness, after God delivered them during their wanderings in the wilderness, they forgot about the miraculous, gracious hand of Almighty God. And as a result, they had a stubborn heart. We don't hear God sometimes because we're stubborn. We forget what God has done. We're looking at what we don't have. We forget what God has already done. We forget the blessings that he's given to us. We get caught up in this life. This isn't all there is. Thank God there's a life after this. Thank God he's promised glory in heaven. What happens is we just get stubborn. We forget what God has done. That's a potential reason for not recognizing. And what comes with that sometimes is pride and judgmentalness, but more on that in a little bit. Now, here's another one. And this is very true. This is now, I would say that this is the most predominant issue right now for why people aren't recognizing God's voice in Christian circles. And here it is. You go with your gut instead of God. People do that all the time. You go with your gut instead of God. And what that is saying, tongue in cheek, is I'm going to do with what? What feels right. Well, it feels right to be in this relationship. It feels right to do this in this relationship. It feels right to do this. It feels right to have this lifestyle. It feels right to go there. Well, that might feel right, but that doesn't mean it's right. Again, think of a father and son or mother and daughter or parent and child relationship. You telling your mother and father, you know what? It feels right. I want to drive while I'm intoxicated. Well, no, you're not. How ridiculous would that sound? Now, we were all younger at one point. Maybe right now in your teenage years, you think you know it all. I used to think when I was 15, I thought I knew everything, right? That was a long time ago now for me at 15. I thought I knew it all. I thought I had it all licked. Let's be very clear. We don't know it all. But even if you grow up and you're not 15 anymore, grown-ups have this same problem. People talk like that all the time. Oh, the Lord told me. People say that all the time. You know, the Lord told me to do this. God will never tell you to do something that contradicts his word. God will never tell you to behave some way that contradicts his word. God will never condone a behavior and say, oh, the Holy Spirit made me do it. No, the Holy Spirit is not going to make anybody act bizarre. The Holy Spirit is not going to make anybody act in a way that would do anything to contradict that which God has said. Just because that's the way that it's been for years and years, as so you've heard it, doesn't mean it's right. Just because people went by their gut doesn't mean that you need to go by your gut and your feelings. You want to go by the faith of the scriptures. You want to go by what God says. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in what? Death. Now, not necessarily physical death, but it can if you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to jump off a cliff and fly. God told me I'm going to fly like Superman. Well, first of all, Superman isn't real. And some of you go, what? Yeah, that's how it is in our culture. Some people believe in Superman, but they don't believe in Jesus. They believe a little boy came down, went for his blue pajamas, and now he could fly. But you tell them about Jesus Christ, historical proof, scientific proof, and on we go, but people don't want to hear that. Here's the thing. We think our way is right, but it's not. And our way could lead to the death of a relationship, the death of an occupation, the death of a dream. We don't want to go with our gut. Over the years in my ministry career, I've met with many people in private to talk with them. And I could tell right away when they're trying to justify a disobedient behavior before God. Now, if any of you know me well, I'm not one to point people's mistakes in their face. That's not my style. I kind of understand this. We all know how foolish we are. Let's operate from there, and then let's talk about how not to be foolish anymore and how to follow God. And so, right away, it comes down to, well, this is what I feel is right. Well, if we just change feeling to wanting to do what God wants us to do, we could recognize what God is saying. We're not going to hear what he has to say if we're always going by our gut. Now, here's another one that you want to take notice of. You have no test in place. You need to test what you're hearing, because there's a lot of voices out there. 1 John 4:1 says this, dear friends, John says, writing as an elder statesman in the faith in his early 90s at this point, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. That is still true today. Welcome to the internet. Welcome to blogs. There are many false prophets out there. There are people who have been predicting the end of the world for as long as they could pick up a Bible. There are people who want to diagnose everybody's problem that they have in their life as, oh, you have unbelief, and this happened because of this, and this happened because of that. Some of us might have been rescued from places that taught like that. The fact of the matter is that we serve a loving and merciful God. If God left what happens bad in my life up to my stupidity, I would have been reduced to dust a long time ago, and the church would be empty. We are held up by his grace. We're sustained by his grace. We must realize that. It is not our job to play Monday morning prophet and try to figure it all out. It's our job to walk by faith, the scripture says, and not by sight. There's a lot of voices out there that try to say they have a corner on the truth. The only truth we need to be reading from is the Word of God. Now, just yesterday, I've had a whale of a week. I have personally been sick in the hospital, but I've been in the hospital a lot this week for visitations, unexpected ones. And just yesterday, I went to visit my father-in-law, who you know has Crohn's disease, and he's going to be listening to this message as he's recovering in the hospital. He had to get 12 inches of his large intestine taken out. And he's had a number of bouts with this. His last bout in September when he went in, he texted me and I knew something was different. And I went to go visit him in the hospital, and he had a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life with him. I had given that to him years ago when he was getting ready to go on vacation. I'll never forget, I ran to the post office to get it. I paid for the overnight shipping because I meant to get it out earlier. I didn't. And then I had to get it to him before he was going away. I just felt like I had to get it to him. Well, I'm so glad that he got it. And he's had such a heart change for the Lord. There's no doubt about it. So we're there yesterday at the hospital visiting him. And his roommate, he's from an Eastern Russian Orthodox background. And so he started asking some great questions. And we started talking about the Lord. And he's a music director. And just a real sharp guy. And so we were going back and forth in a loving conversation. And then finally I said to him, I said, listen, if you want to understand who God is, to use one of your understandings in your music world, you got to read from the sheets of music that God has given to us. And I explained to him very clearly that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, how he is the one and only Redeemer. And that really registered with him. And I believe he grabbed it and he received it that day. And I think that we have to be careful because there's so many voices out there. What they do is they take away from Jesus Christ being the sole Redeemer. There's religions, there's even versions of Christianity that want us to think that we have this Savior within us, this champion within us, that we could defeat our problems. No, we need Christ to defeat our problems. Our faith is in him. There's lots of Christian voices out there to teach us, you know, you just speak to your illness, you speak to your problem. No, we got to speak to God about our problem. That's what we need to do. And then there are voices out there that want to teach people to think that they're better than everybody else. Oh, I got a spirit of this and I got a spirit of that, so I'm going to tell you this. And I like to tell people, you got a spirit of confusion is what you got. We need to have a spirit of humility and come to God. God resists the prideful, but he gives grace to the humble. If we want to learn to recognize God's voice, we've got to have a test in place. Now, we have tests for all sorts of things in life. Now, some of you saw me carrying this up to the podium here. This is a Magnum ice cream box. I don't have a problem. I haven't eaten these this morning. Just want to put that out there, okay? I'm trying to eat clean in my life. This is really one of the last things to go, which is that 11 o'clock, you know, delicious fudge-covered ice cream bar at night. Okay, pray for me. I'm getting there, though. I've made a lot of headway through the day. I just got to get 11 o'clock now, right before I go to bed. Now, I have a test for my Magnum bars. One of them is an eye test to see if there's a box in there. That's the easiest one. But there's other people in my house, and sometimes they could go and touch my Magnum bars. Jen, I'm just mentioning that, okay? I don't want to mention that. I don't want to name drop, okay? So I have a test for my Magnum box, if it's open, just to see if anybody's gotten into them. I could pick them up and feel, but not even feel, I could shake it in here to see how many are in there in case somebody deviously put the box back in such a way that you wouldn't think somebody got into it till they were asleep. And so, in 14 years of marriage, I've learned to creatively explain a situation without getting too crazy under the bus here. But so last night it happened. I saw the Magnum box. I picked it up. It didn't look like it was obstructed. And I just listened, and there was a jiggle in there that didn't sound right. Something was in there, but I like these organic, dairy-free, everything-free burritos that I get from someplace, and somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, put two of those in there. And so when I got out, now, you need a test for things. You need a test. Now, I'm reminded, some of you are going, remember what Ephesians says, you know, and remember what the scriptures say in other places, two shall become one. I understand all that. But we need help with the Magnum bar situation, so. But we need a test in life. There's so many things out there. We need to hear. We need to have we need to be able to pick up God's word and be able to decipher. Because there's lots of people throwing God's word out there. There's people giving 40-minute sermons and they'll give you half a proverb. That's what's out there today. Oh, yeah, that's supposed to. No, we need a feeding from God's word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of thy God. We need God's word. And the reason why people don't teach God's word, and you would think in church they teach God's word. The reason why it doesn't happen is because they don't believe in it, maybe. Or because they don't have confidence in it. But I'm going to tell you right now, we got confidence in God's word. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. We believe in the power of God's word. We believe what God says about his son. We believe what God says about his promises. We believe that we need to stand on God's promises to overcome the struggles that we have. It's not a crutch, it's a rock, actually. And so that's why we need a test, because we don't want to be duped into believing a false gospel from false teachers that preach this often anti-gospel that the sun's going to come out tomorrow. The truth is that you might have a forecast of dingy and dark days ahead of you. But he's Lord of the storm. He's over the storm. That's what we need to hear. We don't need to hear it's always going to get better, because nobody can guarantee that. In fact, Jesus said in this life, you're going to have trouble. It's the life to come that's perfection and paradise, not this one. And what a waste it would be for any of us to waste any time of our life forsaking these truths that God has given to us. We need to have a test. It's God's word. It's the rock of who we are. And that is why Jesus is saying what he's saying. Flipping over your notes and continuing in Luke 6. The next verse, verse 47, says, everyone who hears, Jesus said, don't just call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say. Everyone who hears, now he's going to give a contrast, one that you've heard before. Everyone who hears, everyone who comes to me and hears my words, Jesus says, does them, I will show you what he is like. So if somebody's going to come and hear what I'm saying and do what I'm saying, so there's that combination. You got the hearing and the doing, okay? Whoever's going to do that, verse 48, that person is like a man building a house who, noticed this phrase from Dr. Luke, who dug deep. You want to circle that phrase there. And that is allusion to repentance, to the heart being right, who dug deep, not just surface, who dug deep, because that's what God's word does. It goes past the joint and the marrow right to where it's got to go. That's what God does. He's like a man who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. In the Old Testament, God pictured as the rock. The New Testament, Jesus as well. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house, and it could not shake it because it had been well built. See, when we listen to what God has to say, when we put it into practice, that's a game changer. We're able to stand against the storms that have come, because the storms are going to come one after another. To pretend they're not would be not just callous, it would be irresponsible at this point. We need to understand there's going to be threats and there's going to be storms. Now, for those of you who are younger in high school, you're going to face a storm that you don't even know there's a storm. It's called bullying. It's called peer pressure. People are going to put you down for how you look. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to make fun of you for your faith. Your parents love you. They've raised you in a certain way. There are going to be people who try to give you something to take. This is going to come your way if it hasn't already. You need to realize, just as we said earlier, God has a better plan. You don't want to go with your gut. You don't want to go with other people's gut. You got to go with God and what your parents have taught you, because they love you. They care for you. You have to be very, very attentive to that, that you want to build your house on God. I know people that they made one wrong decision to change the course of their life. You want to build your house on the Lord. You want to put what he's saying into practice. Everyone who comes to me and does what I say, they've built their house on the rock, Jesus says. That is what we need to do. So write this principle down. How do we listen to God's voice? Well, we got to live out what God has said. That will greatly improve future listening. We got to live out what God says. We can't just be resting on what we want to hear. We got to make sure that we are listening to what God has said and putting it into practice. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus closes the Sermon on the Mount by saying something very similar, obviously. Whoever hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice. You know, years ago, I told you about when we had the old office on Hunton Avenue. Seems like a lifetime ago. And I had gotten a phone call from somebody wanting to sell the church a copier and a scanner. And this lady, she gave me her best sales pitch ever. And I listened to it, trying to be a nice guy. And so she didn't even ask what type of business we were. And then finally at the end, she goes, well, what type of business is this? I said, well, we're a church. She goes, oh, I love church. I go to church every week. I said, oh, great. What church do you go to? And then she proceeded to give me five different names of churches all combined in one. I go to Our Lady Help of Community of Saint this and that. She lumped them all together. And then finally I said back to her, I said, you know, you don't have to pretend that you go to church. If you don't go, just say it. And maybe God had you call me up for a copier because you need to go to church. Where do you live? Tell me where she lived. I said, well, I could recommend several churches in that area, matter of fact. But you don't have to pretend that you don't go to church. God told us to go to church. And you want to put that into practice. See, a lot of times people think, well, if I start listening to God's word, I'm not going to have any fun. On the contrary, the Bible is going to give you joy. The Bible is going to give you the joy of the Lord in your soul, that even when you're going through difficult circumstances, your hope is in the Lord. It's not in this world, because there's going to be times for all of us at some point when even our health will be in question. And even the very things that we took for granted at one point will no longer be there. And what does that mean? Does that mean we give up hope? No, God has hope even beyond this world. Even in that circumstance, there is a hope. And so Jesus says, I liken that person who dug deep, who built their house on the rock. Many of the Psalms talk about seeking God as our refuge, seeking God as our shelter, being still and knowing that he is God, but at the same time running to the shelter, running to the rock. Well, we got to live out what God says. We don't want to have that smorgasbord Christianity, that buffet-style faith. Okay, let me take this on peace, and let me take this on prayer, but I'm not going to take this on obedience. Oh, God, you're going to tell me how to live my relationship? Okay, I want to do this. I'm not married. I want to do this. I want to do that. Again, we could do whatever we want. We have free will. But it doesn't make it right if we choose it. And God lovingly wants you to live out that's what he says. Now, going earlier in Luke's gospel, we see Luke setting the stage up when he started this gospel, when he was writing to a political leader. And he said that we have carefully preserved these facts. And the word that he used is the English word of acrobat, acrobatos in the Greek language. We have preserved these facts like we walked a tightrope, like an acrobat, so that you can hear these things. And I love that Luke starts his gospel off like that, because that's just a statement for us to understand that God has preserved this in such a way that it's worth your undivided and my undivided attention to live out what God has said. Later in the gospel of Luke, Jesus was teaching, and somebody arose, and it says, after he spoke these things, a certain woman, this is Luke 11:27, from the crowd raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. She was honoring Jesus and blessing him for the teachings that he just gave. Listen to what Jesus said. He totally deflects the situation here. But Jesus said, and it's here in your notes as well. But Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that goes to earlier, Lord, Lord. A lot of people want to sing praise songs to God, but we don't want to do what he says. Jesus says, you know what? Put all that aside first. Make sure you are doing what I say. Make sure you're putting it into practice, because that's exactly what you need to be doing. We want to learn to recognize God's voice. We want to live out that which he has already said. And then finally, write this last principle down. If you're going to listen to God, you have to be aware that there might be an impairment to your hearing. So write this down. Locate your spiritual hearing impairment. There might be an impairment to your hearing overall that you are unaware of. A lot of times when people find out that they have a deficiency with their hearing, it will happen maybe when they're in a crowd, and because we understand how sound travels to the ear. It's through frequencies and sound waves. And sometimes in a high-pitched setting, it can be realized. Younger in school, if you remember, they come in and give the hearing test. You know, just with Ben not too long ago at one of his doctor's appointments, there's ways that they're testing for hearing. It's possible when you think of the complexity of the human ear, physically speaking, that there's a lot that could potentially go wrong. It's also amazing, like the human eye, to study the composition of the ear to realize how amazing we are of a creation of God. But spiritually speaking, there's a lot that could go wrong as well with our hearing. And Jesus is going to allude to that here. In Luke 6:49, as we finish off this parable, Jesus said, "But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation." How ridiculous is that? He didn't build it on the rock, in other words. He built it on the sand. When the stream broke against it, Matthew's gospel says, when the storm came, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. When we don't listen to what God is saying and put it into practice, we could fall. Pride cometh before the fall. In fact, when you think of the human ear, there's three ways to think of it. You have the external, you have the middle, and you have the inner. Obviously, the external, the pinna right here, the ear, the lobe is what you see, but the sound waves travel into the ear. And as one doctor was explaining it to me this week, it's once the sound waves come into the ear, there's like rocks. So when people say you have rocks in your head, it's not necessarily a negative thing. You do have rocks in your head, okay? But needless to say, there's a lot of complexity from the external to the inner part of the ear. And we might have potential issues with our hearing. Now, one of the most elementary ways to understand a hearing issue is simply that your ears are clogged. And so you're going to notice this in your notes. One of the impairments that you might have is something that we want to call a pride clog. Your pride might be like old dirty wax that is built up in your ears. Now, I had a buddy at school where he used to have horrible wax buildup in his ears. And it would get really bad, and he wouldn't be able to hear us. Now, I was still refining my character then, so I was a big practical joker. And so when he would come into the room, I would pretend I was talking, but I really wasn't. And then he would think he was really clogged up. Okay, I've repented of that behavior already. Just want to let you know that. But something as simple as a wax clog up could impair your hearing. Pride will always clog you up from hearing God. When you think you know best, just as we said earlier from Proverbs 14, when we think we have all the answers, when we think it's our way, no, you're going to miss what God is saying. You're going to miss what God wants to communicate to you. You have to unclog the pride so you can hear what God is saying. And just because you don't know all the answers, there's no verse in the Bible that says you need to have the answer to every one of your questions before you believe. That's not faith. Blessed is he who believes who has not seen, Jesus said. It's so important that we realize that understanding everything is not a prerequisite to faith. We want to walk by faith, as we said earlier, not by sight. So we have to even unclog our ears from our religious pride. We also have a self-pride that I could do better and I know better. We got to unclog that so we can hear God. God is waiting for you to hear what he has to say from his word. But pride is getting in the way. You got to unclog your ears. Now, I know you can go to like an ENT and they can fix you up, but there are some, obviously, some remedies that God has given to us, natural remedies. And I want to recommend, you don't got to go run out to an ENT today, but what you got to do is you got to run out and get on your knees after service. Maybe you do that even today. We got carpet here. You could do that today. Go in one of the rooms after the kids dismiss and you got to pray. I mean, it's that important. You want to hear from God. You want to hear what God has to say. His word is so fresh. It's living. It's active. It's so vibrant. We want to hear what God is saying because he has a word for you and I. Again, we said earlier, there's many false prophets out there. We got to know God's voice because there's a lot of garbage out there. Some of us have been exposed to it. We want to know what God is saying. Here's another one. Another, again, I'm using, there's other deep medical terms that we can go into, but this is not health class here, but something that can obstruct and impair your hearing. If you ever had one of these before, how many of you have had an ear infection before? Anybody have an ear infection before? Sure, we all have. I've gotten double ear infections. Oh, that's horrible. Okay. You can have a fear infection. Your fear could be infecting your ability to hear. And fear is the polar opposite of faith. You could be controlled by your fears in such a way that you're not hearing the promises of God. You're hearing the footsteps of your problems. You're hearing, you know, the quaking of the mountains of your problems, and you're not hearing the one who formed the mountains. We need to realize that God is greater than our problems. But we're too busy fearing over our problems. You know, I can specifically remember times in my time here at the church when we were making transitions when people would literally try to speak fear into me because they were afraid. Well, we can't do this and we can't do that. And that's just fear talking. God is able. He wants to do great things in our life. As we said earlier, they're not going to contradict his word. Because God is sovereign, his word is true, we must realize that. But God wants us to believe him for miracles. He wants us to believe him to provide. He wants us to believe him to do things far and exceeding above what we can even begin to comprehend. He wants to use you and I, but we're too busy fearing, I'm to this and I'm to that. Oh, my past. You know, there's people who have come through this church. They were too busy judging everybody else. And they don't realize that we got to love everybody else. They don't realize that God has called you and I to care for people. Again, I'll say this every week if I have to. If the requirement was we got to get it all together, this church and every other church would be empty. Nobody would be able to come to church. So God wants us not to be controlled by fear of what we're not and what we can't and all that other type of stuff. He wants us to be controlled by faith. It's a life of faith. So we can have a fear infection. That fear infection could be getting in the way of you and I hearing the promises of God, hearing that which what God has already said for us to do. And then this last impairment that you want to take notice of is what we call selective hearing. You know what selective hearing is. You're hearing this, but you're not really. We do that. Now, there's different types to describe selective hearing. But selective hearing could also happen one-on-one when you're talking with somebody. When you're in front of them and they are talking, but you're not really listening. People do that all the time. Now, one guy said, well, my wife's a psychiatrist and I'm a guidance counselor. And the secret to our marriage is that we haven't listened to each other for years. Well, that's not true. They're having a very unhappily ever after. I mean, you got to listen. You got to listen in a marriage. You got to listen with employees. You got to listen if you're the employer. You got to listen to your parents. You got to listen to your children. Listening is one of the core values of any healthy relationship. You don't listen to somebody, well, how are you going to know them? And if we have selective hearing with God, well, God, I don't want to hear that. That's God, you don't get to tell me what I do. You could tell me what I got to do in my living room, but don't tell me what to do in the kitchen or the attic or the basement or the bedroom. But just tell me what to do. That's how we are sometimes with God. We only want to invite God into certain parts of the rooms of our heart. We got to say, God, you own the whole house. God, it's all yours. I don't want to just have selective hearing. I want to hear all that you have to say for my life. I want to hear your promises. I want to hear that which you have to say. Because that's the promises that God has for us. Because it's those promises that sustain us. It's those promises that keep us going. You know, this month, it's hard to believe, almost 10 years ago, it's 8 years actually, that one of our dear brothers in the church, one of our very first elders, who was our very first treasurer, Cliff, went home to be with the Lord. And Cliff, some of you have been around from the beginning, the early days, Cliff would pray for the offering each week. And Cliff knew what it was to have a lot and have a little. And he was a faithful, good steward. But he was a teddy bear of a man now with lots of miles of experience under his belt. And he would get up and he would pray for the offering and he would say one of those old faithful sayings of church, you know, God is good all the time. God is great. God is good. And everybody would repeat it. And then he would, without flinching, say that verse that I referenced earlier from Philippians 4:19, that our God shall supply for all of our needs according to his riches in heaven. You know, when Paul gave that promise, when Paul spoke that under the authority of God, It was to a church that had their own persecution, their own problems. The church of Philippi, poverty, persecution from the Romans, struggles, needs of their own. But yet this same church was faithful to give to the church in Jerusalem, we find out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They held up as the example of all churches. Even though they struggled, they still went beyond their struggle, Paul tells us. And I believe that this church, and the reason why that verse is there, is a reminder to all of us that you don't have to wait for everything to line up, for everything to be perfect, for us to serve, to give, to pray, to be all that we could be for God. That He is the substance of who we are. That He is the very provision of our salvation. And He is our sustaining grace in this life. And that is why we could pray in this series, Thy will be done. Because when we listen to the voice of God from His Word, when we listen to the voice of God through His Spirit, He says, I am your provider. I am your Savior. I am your Lord. I am your King. I am your Lord. I am calling you. I have chosen you. I have saved you. I have picked you up. Just like He picked that woman up who was getting ready to get stoned. I have picked you up. Where are your accusers? I have picked you up. Just like the woman at the well, I have met you at the well. Okay? Just like the thief on the cross, I have met you at your execution. That is what God has done for you and I. He has met us at our lowest point, and He has picked us up. There's no other reason, no other greater reason than to trust God than even just that. We could just end it on that note. I'll put a period right there. That He has met us right where we needed Him to meet us, where nobody else can meet us. He is worthy of us having both our ears open, unclogging the prideful wax, the self-righteous wax, not giving in to the infections of fear that might be all around us, and not having selective hearing, but saying, Lord, I take to heart what you say. He who has an ear, let him hear. Lord, I am all ears to hear what you have to say, whether I have 100 years left, 100 days left, whatever days you have prescribed for me, I will listen and I will follow you all the days of my life. I will make this pledge, young and old, Thy will be done. Could you say that with me? Thy will be done. Let's bow for a word of prayer. If you have never asked Christ into your life, I want to invite you to do so today. God has already spoken to your heart, no doubt. Or you wouldn't even be convicted just to profess this prayer. If you believe that you're a sinner, you know you're a sinner, and that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that He rose from the dead, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer, asking Christ into your heart, right in the quietness of your own heart. Say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins and that He rose from the dead. I ask Him into my heart and my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Grant me eternal life, O God. For I repent of my ways and I choose to follow you. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you pray that prayer after service, please come and let us know that. But let me just pray for all of us this morning. Father in heaven, we want to drown out the distractions that are out there. We want to listen to what you have to say. We want to put it into practice, oh God. We don't want to be swayed by the false teachings and the voices that are out there. We don't want to just go by our gut. We want to go by you, oh God. Help us to keep a close, watchful ear to that which you have said, oh God. Thank you that you communicate to us, oh God, that you love us, that you call us to listen to what you have to say. I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters that are here today, oh God, who are suffering and struggling. I pray that you would reveal to them through your word, oh God, some fresh hope, God, for their afflictions, oh God. I pray for those who have been wandering, Lord, that you would remind them that you don't give up on us, that you love us, that you're unconditional with your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray for those who for a good many years have had their hands to the plow. I pray that you would raise these folks up in an even greater way to encourage those, as it says in the scripture, who are weak and who are struggling. Give us all, God, no matter where we are, young or old in the faith or in age, a greater sense of your purposes this morning, O God, to have an even more diligent ear to what you are saying, O God. Let us be quick to listen, O God. Lord, even slow to speak, O God, that we may be still and know that you are God. Lord, even speak to us in the very storms that we came in here today with. Lord, calm our storms. Teach us how to trust you in those storms. We commit these words before you. Help us even this week to have an attentive ear to that which you are saying. We sow these prayers and we commit them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.